once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely, smiling nation of Sri Lanka. Ah, yes, they will smile at you, that's for sure. But hey, how you doing? How is everything? You know, hey, keep your sense of humor in all these things that are going on in the rest of the world, all over the place. Keep a light grasp on that which is taking place around you. Because, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff that comes up. And if you look at it from an eternal perspective, it's actually quite comical. Because the things that people think are important, the things that people invest, you know, their time while they're in the earth. And we have a limited time while we're here, a limited resource, a limited window that is life in this place. And that time, the things that people choose to spend it on and think that are of value and importance, it's, you know, it's actually, it is kind of funny if you look at it, because a lot of it really isn't that important. A lot of it really isn't that worthwhile. And most people, when they look back on their lives, they lament their lives because of that. Because they realize that really, even as, you know, Solomon writing in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You know, meaningless, meaningless. It's all meaningless. You know, because the book of Ecclesiastes, here's a man who had tried everything, literally everything. You know, some people suggest that Solomon in modern wealth terms would have been worth about $100 billion. Well, $95 billion plus. But with the rate of what gold has gone up to, probably a lot more. Definitely more money and more wealth than anybody else alive. He was the richest man that ever lived. And, you know, his riches was accompanied with wisdom. You know, there's a correlation. Wisdom, you know, enabled him also to obtain. There was an element of that too. But in the middle of that, with all of that wisdom that he had, all that power, and literally the ability to have anything that he could think, want, or desire in the earth would be available unto him. Money was no object. Power, position, all of that, nothing was withheld from him. So if he wanted something, he could have it. And after a lifetime of that, and living that way, and trying everything, and evaluating everything with wisdom, because he didn't just try it all and forget. He tried it all and weighed it out and saw the merit of something, saw the value of something, saw, okay, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, and let's see, let me now test it with the wisdom that God has given me in answer to my prayer. Let me now test it with that wisdom and see what the true value of it is. And once he had done it all, meaningless, meaningless. It's all meaningless. And if you want a fantastic lesson for life, just read the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes. The last two verses, chapter 12. You know. Now, let me tell you, the whole duty of man, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. I'm paraphrasing. But, yeah, this is it. You know, keep things in the right perspective. You know, keep things in the right priority. Love the fear God and keep His commandments, i.e., another way to say that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In this is all the law and the prophets, or all the commandments, too. So it all synergizes together. So, but yeah, you know, because otherwise, basically Solomon said, look, you want to try it? All right, fine. You want to try it, go ahead. But it's going to be a pretty heavy tax. You're probably going to bankrupt yourself trying it, but go ahead, try it. But if you want to listen to somebody that's already tried it and can give you the Cliff Notes version and save you some years of your life, here, let me tell you what it's like. Let me tell you what it's like to build all these monuments unto yourself and all these gardens and all these plantations. Let me tell you what it's like to laugh and go through all of this comedy and then listen to all these things. Let me tell you what it's like to, you know, just whatever pleasure you could think of. He tried it. Now, what's the point? The point here is that it's been done. All right? It's been done. Somebody's already done it. Somebody's already tried it. They've already, and the advantage that you have with somebody like Solomon as compared to somebody like, oh, pick your favorite celebrity or anybody in the world or anybody that has prominence. The advantage is that Solomon, one, he had more money, more wealth, more power than they ever would be able to. And two, he's actually honest about it. He'll actually tell you the truth about it. And it's a shame that you got to go back so far in history to get somebody that'll actually tell you the truth about it, because the modern day people lie to you. They lie to you because they're part of that system. So they tell you, oh, okay, if you can just rack it up, if you can just get your chips, if you can get, yeah, you got to get paid. Money talks, right? No, look at the people that have it. Look at the people that have it. You know, I mean, in my life, by God's grace, I've had the opportunity to meet, greet, spend time with, be around some of the wealthiest people this world has ever had. None of them having the wealth of Solomon, but some of the wealthiest people this world has. And I know that the bulk of them are missing it. Yeah. And if you cut down through it, the things that really actually matter in life, they've missed those. And it's a sad thing, because those are available. They're available in Christ. Freely we receive, freely we give. Now, the price was paid. God made the way. And the fact that He made the way was crucial, because we could never buy it in the first place. Look, you could have worked for every moment from the time that you were born through your last day and you lived 100 years old, you couldn't put a down payment on what was necessary for your redemption and your salvation. The interest alone would have crushed you for all eternity. Never could you pay that. It took the perfect blood of the Son of God to pay for your redemption, my redemption, your salvation, my salvation. So all that was necessary. And because it was never something that you could pay for yourself, God had to give it to you as a gift. He had to give you as a gift what you could not earn. Now, that being said, God giving you something of immeasurable value, you would have to be dumb to not take that. But you know what? The problem that took place in the world is that people got so deceived, so tricked, so they believed the lie of the devil. They seared their consciences. You know, why is it that the world works so hard to pollute people? Why is it that it works so hard to bombard them? You know, you can't go anywhere, you know, in a major city and not be bombarded continuously. Why is it that on every medium you look, every time you turn around, somebody's trying to get a message in front of you? But people aren't telling you what you really need to know, what you really need to hear. Look, all these things that the world says that you should have to make you happy and make you fulfilled, none of them will. Not a single one of them will. Not a single product in the world is going to make you popular or, you know, have peace in your heart or whatever. And if you ever get anything out of those, it is short-lived, because the world is fickle. one day you are top of the heap, the next day you are last season's, you know, you're two seasons ago. You're an old bag. No, listen, the world and all that it has, it fades away. It passes away. And, you know, that gift that God gave us, it renews us moment by moment, day by day. We go from strength to strength. Right now is a point of life overflowing in and through you. That is God's intention for you. That is God's will and desire for you, is that you would live in His life, that you would have peace. The world doesn't have peace. And the fact that the world is in the middle of so many wars is an example of the fact that it doesn't have peace. You know, there is no peace within, and that's why there's no peace without as well. People seek to destroy and to hurt and to damage others when inside they themselves are all torn up. When they're raging inside, they look to rage outside. You know, people that are at peace, it's interesting, but they can be some of the toughest people in the world, in the natural, but they, you know, they're peaceful people. Because inside the things are resolved. But in general, when people are actually when inside things are not resolved, they can be 4 foot nothing, and they're very angry. And they seek to take that anger and that rage and that hostility out on, especially if available, a true child of God. Because a true child of God is an example of peace. And they don't want people around them to be at peace. Because that's not their state of existence. No, rather they would like to, you know, try to take it out on them. You know, that place of peace that we are destined to live in, it is something that is part of that awakening process that we go through in our salvation, in coming to Christ. As God brings us unto Himself, draws us unto Himself, that place of peace is a place that you and I were destined to live in. Okay, how do you have peace? How do you have peace? Because there is a peace that passes all understanding. First of all, understand that it's a gift. It's not something you can earn, just like your salvation was not something that you could earn. It was something that you had to receive. Something that you had to receive from your Savior. Could not be earned, had to be received. And that receiving, how do you receive it? Well, you can't receive it if your hands are closed. How are you going to take hold of something if you got closed hands? Those hands are open in an act of surrender. Those hands are open in an act of freely giving up unto God and saying, "All right, Lord God, your will, not mine. Lord, you have your way. I surrender. I give up my agenda. I give up my personal plans, my whatever it was that I was thinking, all that stuff, Lord, I give it up. And I put it before you. Lord, your will be done. Would you just show me? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? And I'm not going to have an agenda unto myself anymore. Lord, have your will, have your way. In Jesus' name, I trust you. Amen." You know, how do you have peace? Well, you have peace by also following God's word. His word is peace. His commandments are peace. His commandments bring peace. To the heart of a follower of Christ, there's peace in His commandments. So when you do the will of God, they're followed by peace. You know, when you get outside the will of God, you lose your peace. Do you know that? That when you get outside, when you step into a place that, you know, recently I was chatting with a sister in Christ. She was talking about she went to a place that was very much a cultish church, quote unquote. And to her, she was, in her own words, freaked out. And, you know, just saying, hey, you got to trust that peace of God that's in you. When your peace is when you feel something that goes against the peace of God that's within you. If you want to keep your peace, how do you have peace? Well, you know, take note of that. Because if you were to then go back there week to week, you know, you think you're going to keep peace? No. You might be part of a club. They might all accept you. You may be running around and building buildings and doing all kinds of stuff. But your peace, where is it? Where'd it go? You can go into a bad situation. And you can stay there for years and you won't have peace. Because God warned you from the start. The peace of God that passes all understanding is a fantastic guide for you in making decisions and making choices while you're in the earth. How do you have peace? Okay, spend some time in prayer. Pray. Pray. When you pray, there is peace that results as when you spend time in prayer. We already mentioned recently, you know, we're talking about some good advice for life. And, you know, if you don't do it regularly, do this. Just even pray, even for 15 minutes. Just stop. Get before God and bow your knee before Him and pray. Makes a huge difference. And if you don't know how to pray, go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus gives an outline. Pray that prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And you know, you can pray that prayer in 30 seconds, or you can spend half a day before God and praying the different components of those prayers. You know, because see, the thing is, it's not even those words. The words, yeah, they're important and you know, they're good openings, but within each one of those sentences is, or within each one of those sets is an open door for all of those things. You can spend hours before God just praising Him and thanking Him. You can spend time before God about the things that are concerning and that are on your heart. You can bring your needs before Him. Whatever it is, so there's a way. And God gave an outline. There's even a reason why, you know, you begin by our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You begin with praise. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. And when you spend time, when you praise God, you're also tuning your own ears to His frequency. You're also tuning your own heart to what it is that He is speaking. And you're spending some time before Him. And you're saying, Lord, I'm serious. Lord, I'm serious. I mean business. You know, there's a difference. When you close your door in accordance, like Jesus said, look, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, you know, go into your closet, close the door, and pray to your Father. Pray in secret to your Father. The Father that sees what's done in secret will reward you openly. Pray. And when you pray, go before Him. You show, you know, when you do that, when you do what He said in His Word, He knows you're serious. He knows you're serious. He knows you mean business. That you are going in there, you are bowing your knee before Him because you mean business. You intend. You want to meet God. You want to spend some time with Him. You want to talk about that which is on your heart. So, yeah. Whereas, you know, the people that do the whole drive-by, you know, high-by, you know, okay. You know, but, you know, you gotta mean business. You gotta show up intending to hear from Him. Because you know why? God responds to faith, too. When people showed up and they knew that He could heal them, He loved that. He loved that response of faith. He loved it when people would show up and knew that He could do what He would do. And He responded to that. He never disappointed. So, you know, but he looks for that in us. And so there's peace when you take him at his word. When you pray, there's peace. When you take him at his word, there's peace. When you read the word of God, it, and not from an intellectual standpoint, when you read the word of God, but not from your intellect, but deep calls out to deep. The depth of the word of God calls out to the depth of God within you. Deep calls out to deep. When you read the word from that place, from a place of spirit, God will meet you there, and there's peace within. That resonates within you. You also realize when that happens, when that takes place, that yeah, you are indeed on track with him. You're in step with him. He knows. He knows where you're at. And he is going to take care of you, going to take care of the needs of your heart. You know, and the thing is too, is I think so often we worry about things that we don't need to worry about. Even then, back to the word. He said, don't worry. But we worry. Why? Why do we do that? You know, when he's specifically told us, don't, and we still do. Because there's an element that we don't trust him. There's an element that we're just not quite sure. And the byproduct of not being sure is, you know, you try to hold on to it. And when you try to hold on to it, what's the result? You hold on to something that you don't have the strength to carry. So you're worn out, you're tired, you're perplexed, you're angry, you're anxious, and none of that was intended to be your state of being. You were meant to be able to trust him, to walk with him. The things that you were meant to carry, you know, he told you what those were. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're supposed to only take him. He's going to carry everything else. You're just supposed to take him. Take his yoke. Well, what's his yoke? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Try that. Why don't you try that for a while? Why don't you try loving God with everything that you are, putting your entire being in, and then out of the overflow of that, loving your neighbor as yourself, and see what happens. Just try that. You know, the rest of it, you can let God sort the rest of it out. You would find that there would be a lot of peace. There would be a lot of forgiveness. There would be a lot of rest within you. But you know what? It's all part of the journey. It's a part of the journey that God has us on. And this journey that we're in the middle of, it can be quite incredible. But there's gifts that God has for us. There's part of the process of discovery is quite exciting. You know, to be able to discover peace and living in a state of peace after you've been in so much torment and so much upheaval for such a long time. A lot of people live like that for a long time, and then when God grants them peace, it's just like, oh my gosh, what a difference, what a change. But before that, no. Before that, there was no peace. So, you know, it is a process. You and I are in the middle of it. Thank God that we are, because his hand is upon our lives, and he's not finished with us. He's not through with us. God will complete that work within you, but you do have to yield to it. So, you know, how do we get and maintain our peace? Well, we get it also by trusting him. You need to trust him. You need to trust that he's in control. You need to trust that it's about him and not you. You need to surrender. And as you surrender, there's peace in that moment. There's peace in that moment of surrendering unto your Creator. And no longer you trying to do it. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. Even as Paul said, and spoke and admonished people to understand the spiritual truth, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. Christ lives in you. In Him we live and move and have our being. That's the place that we want to live. That's the place we want to exist. There's a joy in that. There's a joy in living according to His plan and purpose. Because life becomes an incredible adventure then. And it's not about anything or any agenda the way the world would say. It's about Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, He makes truth known unto you. As He makes truth known unto you, as you walk in that truth, your life is blessed. Your time is blessed. Your energies are blessed. Your efforts are blessed. That which you put your hand to is blessed. And even the difficult things, God causes all things to work together for the good of the called according to His purpose. God does a work in you. And He will bless you. He will keep you. He will watch over you. His glory will be your rear guard, and He will lead and guide you all the days of your life. Trust Him. So may the peace of God be upon your lives. May the peace of God guard your hearts as you follow and trust Him. God bless you in Jesus' name. And with that, hey, drop us an email. Say hi, faithmix@gmail.com. We love even the one-liners and two-liners that come in where you guys write in and just say, hey, we just wanted to say hi. So God bless you. We appreciate you. You can also find us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word on Facebook, and you can find us there. I think, yeah, there's tens of thousands of people around the world that have said, we like what you guys are doing. Keep it up. And so to you guys too, we say thank you guys for listening in, and God bless you too. And do drop us a mail. And know that also we pray for you guys too. We pray that God blesses and keeps you and continues that which He's doing inside of your heart. So with that, we'll talk to you soon and say hi. All right, talk to you. Bye.